Pushkin.
The following episode of Broken Record contains language that is extremely grim, infernal, cult, brutal, and just sort of negative in general.
My name is Malcolm Gladwell. Welcome to Broken Record, where today we explore the dark world of black metal with Dave Hill, guitar hero, metal enthusiast, spawn of the suburbs of Cleveland, Ohio, creative force behind the 7-inch Witch Taint anthology, the first 13 Infernal Years, and the forthcoming Sons of Midwestern Darkness. If you've never seen Dave's epic version of Stairway to Heaven with his 83-year-old dad on keyboards, by the way, you should probably drop everything and watch it now. Today, in a departure from my usual practice at Broken Record of doing thoughtful and sophisticated interviews, we're going to go deep and tell the Witch Taint origin story, which involves an extended encounter between Dave Hill's alter ego, a.k.a. the King of Black Metal, Lance, from Gary, Indiana, and a Norwegian black metal impresario named Satan, spelled S-A-I-I-T-A-M, also known as Matthias. Why Norwegian? Because Norway is to black metal like Belgium is to chocolate.
What's the difference in the way one would play a guitar in a metal band and in a progressive rock band or in an alternative? Can you just sort of give me a little tutorial on what it means musically?
You know, with rock, rock can be kind of whatever, you know. Or you can be like, you know, sort of REM-y, jangly, Athens, whatever. I mean, well, all metal, if they're doing it right, starts with Black Sabbath, of course. And that would be...
Describe to me what you're doing exactly, Annette.
I'm butchering the riff to Black Sabbath from the album Black Sabbath by the band Black Sabbath. That's called the devil. The flatted fifth is the devil's interval. And in some cultures, you can't even play it because it conjures the devil. Like in the suburbs of Cleveland, you can't play that. No, it was truly like considered... I think it's always been fine to play in Cleveland, but in some cultures, I think, yeah, it was considered, like, you just wouldn't. So that's basically heavy metal right there.
Talk a little bit, you said there are distinctions in lyrics and sound between black and death metal. Can you talk a little bit about, from your perspective, what those distinctions are?
Death metal is more, and by the way, there's going, you know, if I may, just a quick disclaimer, I would call myself a metal enthusiast, I'm extremely knowledgeable, I would say, but I wouldn't say I'm an expert. And I mention this only because there's bound to be someone who's going to be like, he didn't get that quite right. And so I'm just saying that, admitting to whoever's listening, yes, you do know more than I do. So death metal would be more about like, gore, and you know, just look at Cannibal Corpse's album covers, and they're all very graphic and violent. And so the lyrics are about that. Like, I think Cannibal Corpse's, I guess their Stairway to Heaven would be Hammer Smash Face.
So that's death.
So death is more gore and all that, and black metal is more just dark and grim and satanic and depressing and very negative. and about, you know, it's about also more about, can be about nature and about isolation. It's not a party. Whereas I would argue that death metal is maybe more of communal music.
Do you think that black metal bands take themselves more seriously than death metal bands? Much more tongue-in-cheek?
Yeah. I think it's just more about fun and fantasy. I don't think I've yet to meet a death metal musician who wasn't a bright and sunny person. And I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Any that I've ever known have been...
In sharp contrast to black metal.
Yeah, though there, I have met some very lighthearted black metal musicians also.
Yeah.
But the stereotype or the general rule would be they're humorless.
Is there a particular black metal song or riff you could do right now to sort of show us what you're talking about?
Well, I would say the Stairway to Heaven of black metal would be Freezing Moon by Mayhem, which I think goes away.
If you want to sound metal or sound black metal, how do you sing?
It's more like with death metal and a lot of metal, you're singing, you know, death metal is more like Cookie Monster, like where it's like, you know, a lot of that. And with black metal, it's more, a lot of it is more like more just a higher and,
yeah,
and just sounds much crazier, in my opinion.
Can you sing and play something death metal-y in that? I want to hear that voice, those two voices, the death versus the...
I'm trying to think of like, you know, there'd be a bit lower like that.
Yeah.
And black metal would be more like... But
is that really hard to do?
No. Especially as sloppy as I'm doing it. But more of that where it's open. Because usually in metal and any sort of power, like in rock, you wouldn't use the third of the chord, the minor third, but you... There's a lot more of that in black metal.
We'll be back with more Broken Record after this. We're back with Broken Record. The key figures in Norwegian black metal are Euronymous, who was in Mayhem, and Varg Vigneris, who actually murdered Euronymous, and who now lives in France and occasionally posts nasty videos on YouTube. These are not pleasant people. All of this is detailed in a book called Lords of Chaos, The Bloody Rise of the Satanic Metal Underground, which I have to say is the most unintentionally bananas rock and roll book I've ever read, and which I was required to read as a condition of Dave granting me this interview.
Is Mayhem, their first sort of signature antisocial move is the church burnings. They're burning down these, Norway, I guess, is rife with 2,000-year-old wooden churches. And this is one of the things that's so unintentionally hilarious about them. They've decided that the great foe of the civilized world, is Christianity, even though, of course, no one goes to church in Norway.
Right.
It's like the least Christian country in Western Europe. So this subculture has grown up in defiance of something that basically doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
burning churches that no one attends. So Varg Vigneris is the kind of is there an analogy to Varg Vigneris in American society?
He would be like the Charles Manson.
He's
of Norway,
Charlie Manson,
basically.
Yeah,
yeah. I think people know who he is? Yeah,
responsible for several murders.
Well, again, it depends who you ask. I think he's really only. Just one murder. He murdered Euronymous, for the guitar player from Mayhem.
Oh, that's right. And Dead took his own life.
But prior, Dead, who was the singer, a Swedish singer from a band called Morbid, he was a singer in Mayhem, and he, took his own life.
And when he, this is very, very graphic and gross, but he put a gun to his head. And didn't Euronymous come across the body and then take two pieces of his skull and make necklaces out of them?
Yeah, supposedly.
Is that apocryphal or is that true?
I think the necklace thing is true. But then, you know, there's rumors that he took pieces of the brain. Because, you know, his dad shot himself with a shotgun and there's brain splattered all over. And, you know, so there were rumors that he cooked and ate some of the brain. But I don't think that's true. I mean, that's supposedly just lore. But the necklace thing is supposedly true.
And they, Mayhem in a famous concert, had pigs' heads on stakes.
Yeah, there's pigs. I mean, sometimes, but Gorgoroth did that too.
Oh, it's like a thing.
It's a thing, yeah. You know, if you can't get pigs' heads, use sheep heads. And there was some band, I don't know if it was Watain from Sweden. Maybe it wasn't them. There was some black metal band, not from Norway, who got so much animal blood all over a club that the club had to go out of business. And I would say that's taking it too far.
That's very black.
Yeah, and unsanitary, I would say.
Here's a reference in to the pig's heads, and this is from an interview with Bard Eithun.
Bard was the drummer from, he was also known as Faust. He was the drummer from Emperor.
And this, I'm quoting from Bard. I remember at the gig, one person ate some piece of the pig head, which was very old, so he got very sick.
Yeah, and that what you just read, I mean, that I cannot, the first 200 pages of Lords of Chaos are full of gems like that.
I mean, it is one of the most extraordinary reads. So this is a history of, essentially, it's really a history of Norwegian black metal, although it has pretensions otherwise. But at its core, and it sort of traces the lives of all of these, through interviews of all of these key figures in the in a scene, and especially Varg, the Charles Manson.
Yeah, he's in there quite a bit.
Have you met Varg?
No, I don't want to meet him. I would not want that.
Why, because he's too evil?
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't, as much as I enjoy all this, you know, I'm kind of a softy, and I really don't want to be around a guy like that.
Here is Varg. This is my favorite Varg quote, and there's a lot. I mean, there's a long list of potential candidates, but he gets put in prison, and the first thing he does is he gets really angry, and he lashes out, and he says, "It's much too nice here. It's not hell at all." In this country, prisoners get a bed, toilet, and shower. It's completely ridiculous. I asked the police to throw me in a real dungeon and also encourage them to use violence.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
it's very typical Varg.
Yeah, yeah. That I mean, that's gold right there.
So you read this Lords of Chaos.
Yeah.
And you decide that you would like to get in contact.
Yeah,
with someone from that scene.
Well, yeah, I was reading this book, and I found it fascinating on tons of levels, you know, at being a fan of metal, but then also loving the absurdity of some of the things you just said. Like, what, you know, there's Helvet, I'm not pronouncing
or
it
the
right.
Club, or the record,
record store.
In Oslo, where they all hang out.
So it's still, but anyway, so this store that Euronymous opened, at one point he said, like, yeah, we wanted to give all the customers torches to walk around to see, but then we realized that was impractical because it would melt the vinyl if they got it. And for someone to say something like that with just like dead serious, just no irony whatsoever, it was just, to
fantastic.
Me, this does not get funnier.
Yeah, yeah.
I found the book just completely entertaining in that way with tons of stuff. And yeah, so I became fascinated. And so somewhere around the early 2000s, just to entertain myself, I started going down. There was a website called FMP666, I think Full Moon Productions. And I think this site is still up, but they're not out of business. But there was like a mail order for black metal stuff. And so I just started emailing bands and labels and stuff, just for my own fun, like making crank calls. Only, you know, at this point, I'm a grown man. And I'm questioning how black these guys are and saying, you know, I actually, my band, Witch Taint, I called myself Lance, a teenager from Gary, Indiana, who lives with his mother and has the most extreme black metal band of all time called Witch Taint, which in America, I think, you know, people know Taint as slang for the Perennium, which is interesting. As now we do this Witch Taint live show, and we've taken it, you know, we've done it in London, Oslo, and Germany, and they don't have the same, they don't have that word. They don't have,
they miss
don't,
the nuance.
They miss the nuance, so I have to explain it. So then they're like, oh, that's a great band name, once I explain it. But anyway, so...
Wait, was that on the origin of the name? When you're obviously the competition, when you're in the world of black metal, the name of your band is obviously of enormous importance.
Sure.
It just, I mean, it doesn't really matter what your band name is if you're doing, you know, alt rock. It can be anything obscure.
Yeah, I mean, Spoon, come on.
Yeah.
Great band, but come
on. Yeah. But the stakes are really super high when it comes to band naming. And I'm just curious about, so your feeling was that Witch Taint was the kind of apotheosis of black metal band names.
In terms of what this character in my mind,
Lance,
you know, and I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but I will say that all of this came to me and so clearly when I started doing it that I did not think for a second about what the band name should be. Literally, as I was typing and making it up, I named the band Witch Taint, as if it had been in me forever. And I believe it to be the greatest band name of all time to this day.
Why, it's very good. Why why was Lance from Gary, Indiana?
I didn't really know anything about Gary, Indiana, other than that's where Michael Jackson and his family were from. And so to my mind, I thought it was just like this white bread American town, which I don't think is quite the reality at all.
No, it's like a post-industrial wasteland.
Right. And I didn't know that, but it was too
late.
But
I love the fact that you're from Cleveland.
Yeah.
And you feel the need to go somewhere else to get a post-industrial wasteland.
Yeah. Well, because I thought, like, you know, and the perception on the mean streets of Cleveland and northeastern Ohio in general is that Indiana is much softer. That's where my mind went.
And Lance, you're emailing around and someone takes the bait.
Yeah, this label called Planet Satan Revolution. I thought that I was emailing, they were putting out records by this band from Oslo called Mysticum, which is an industrial black metal band whose music I've still never heard, I should stress to you. 15 years later.
But they only put out one album in 12 years.
Yeah. Well, that's a big thing with black metal. And I think it has worked for Witch Taint as well. The less music you actually produce and the less you perform, ideally you should never perform live, but the less you do is almost the more you do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Broken Record after this. We're back with Broken Record and the ever-darkening encounter between Lance from Gary, Indiana, a.k.a. the King of Black Metal, and Matthias, a.k.a. Satan, Norwegian Black Metal Impresario.
So the first email, and anyone can read all these emails at theblackmetaldialogues.com. The first email was, I thought I was emailing the band, so I'm insulting the band. And then the guy writes back saying, this is, you know, the label. And that's when I decide, well, I'm going to try to get signed to the label with this band that doesn't exist, Witch Taint. Uh-huh. And by the time I'm emailing this guy, it's been going on for a couple of years that I've been emailing. But just very casually. It'd be like late at night, I'd be getting ready for bed, and I'd be like, let's email a black metal band and insult them. Just for no reason. You know, like you would make a crank call. I'm pathetic, I admit it. So I started emailing this guy at Planet Satan Revolution, just kind of telling him about how extreme my band was.
You say that you had heard about this band Mysticum, and you had heard they were very black, and then you listened to them. Wait, I think we have to, you have to read. Do you have them? Can you read that?
Yeah, I can pull it up.
Just pull it up and read the crucial section of that first email.
So the first email, so I send this email from my email address at the time, MrLouRawls@AOL.com.
By the way, how is that not a dead giveaway? Does he not Google Lou Rawls and understand that you can't be the blackest?
You would think.
Okay, start with the first.
Okay, so here's the email. Subject, Mysticum, ? Hey, Mysticum guys, I got your email off the internet. I was surprised someone in a black metal band would use email, but whatever. I guess we can't expect you guys to live in caves all the time. If you were serious about black metal, you would, though. Anyway, the reason I am writing is because I was wondering if there were two bands called Mysticum or something. The reason I ask is because my friend Todd told me about a band called Mysticum that were really heavy and extreme and that I should totally check them out. So I went out and bought your record, and all I got was this total pussy metal instead. Is there another band called Mysticum that I should know about? I'm really into super heavy and extreme black metal, so if there is another Mysticum that plays this kind of music, I would really like to know. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure tons of chicks dig what you guys are doing, but I'm into some serious shit, not this strummy bullshit you guys seem to be into. Anyway, let me know if you have heard of these guys. Are you guys on MTV? Dark regards, Lance, a.k.a. the King of Black Metal.
Mm-hmm. Right. What is the time it elapses between when you send that email and when Satan responds?
So I write on November 19th, 2004, 5:43 p.m. On November 20th, 2004, 8:48 a.m.
Oh, he's right on it.
And he's in Oslo, remember?
Yeah. So we do the time change.
He's on it fast. And do you want me to read what he wrote?
Read the Matthias's response. Just to be clear, these emails, there are thousands and thousands of words of these emails. They go on.
It went on for 6 months. Yeah, and I think you can read all of it in about half an hour, maybe. But yeah, no, it's thousands of words. So he writes back, "Hi!" ! So right away, not very black metal. First of all, I find your email a bit barefaced and strange, but I have decided to answer you anyway. You have now come to the label address of the extreme Mysticum band. We have never heard about the pussy ones you mention about. Label name is Planet Satan Revolution, ! Check out www.mysticum.com. Under releases link, you can download the debut album from 1996 for free. If you are interested in ordering this masterpiece of black grimness, let me know. I am soon sold out, so be quick. I like that. So he's kind of hit, you know, he's staying on message.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's selling. This band is a cult act, originally signed to Euronymous, parentheses, RIP, of Mayhem's own label, Death Like Silence Productions, parentheses, DSP. And since you're claiming to be a quote-unquote real black metaler, you should know that famous history of what happened with him. If you're into real black metal, you should also know that email addresses has nothing to do. I'm reading, there's a bit of English as a second language in here, as you can hear, to do with being quote-unquote true or not. You have won yourself. Mysticum has been in the underground for 12 years, so we know what we're talking about here. There is nothing wrong in using emails to spread the disease. Living in a cave has nothing to do with black metal at all. As long as you are dealing with satanic and occult things, believe in what you are doing, you can do whatever you want. Of course Mysticum has never been on MTV and never will be. Such music are not loved by the MTV crew, and too extreme to be on a channel that only sends crappy, happy, sellout shit. dark regards. He steals my salutation right out of the gate. For Planet Satan Revolution, Satom, managing director. Again, back, he's a businessman.
He's an MD. He's the MD.
Yeah. He writes back defending his business model for putting out Miscom Records, basically. So I write back, "Dear Satom, I see your point. If you are going to put something into something, in this case a record by a bunch of pussies called Mysticum, then you should get something out of it too. Some money and also a reputation for working with pussies like the guys in Mysticum. I don't like the idea of everyone, or anyone for that matter, being happy, as you mentioned, though. That is exactly what I am saying. Black metal has nothing to do with being happy. It should make you want to live in darkness, perhaps with a babbling brook nearby that would mock you in the night. But I fear I am being too harsh. I realize you may not think that Mysticum are a bunch of pussies, but that is probably because you have yet to hear my band, Witchtaint. In a perfect world, black metal would exist totally in the mind, as it does with me much of the time. We would hear the black sounds pouring through our brain as we sit in darkness, or maybe there could be a torch nearby. This is true black metal. A compromise might be just having bands play in the woods, and there could be a bonfire, and a select few would be permitted to hide behind trees and listen to the bands perform. I realize, however, that this is impractical, and it would be awkward if everybody ran into each other later at the grocery store or something. It is hard to be truly black when shopping for groceries, which is why I rarely eat unless I absolutely have to." And it goes on from there.
And then the wonderful turn is when Satan reveals that he has short hair, a wife. Does he have kids?
Yeah, he has a wife and two kids.
He's two kids.
And so the plot, so it gets more, it ramps up way more from what I just read and, you know, talks about all this stuff. And eventually, my friend John Kimbrough and I sat down and recorded the first ever Witch Taint song, which I can play for you.
Which, now, before you play it, I would point out that you do some absolutely heroic buildup in which you'd like to be signed by his label, and you claim that the music you're doing is so black that he should remove all sharp objects.
Yeah, like make sure his family's not around.
And that you have to, even yourself, sometimes when you're playing your own music, have to turn it off to kind of keep yourself safe.
Yeah, like I have to go take breaks from it. It's too much.
So this was not under promise and over deliver when you were dealing with Satan. You really, this is why, I mean, there's a moment when you're reading the emails when you're like, oh shit, like what if Lance is building this up as the greatest, darkest, blackest song of all time. And like, and he has to deliver because Matthias keeps asking, send me something. Where's the MP3?
Yeah, because I keep talking about the music, but it doesn't exist because it's, again, just a grown man emailing this guy every night. So I finally decide, my friend John Kimbrough, I go over to his house and we record a song to send to him.
What's it called?
It's called Necro Dream Raper. My character, we're not talking about sexual assault. We're talking more of a psychological, I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea about the song title. But again, it's from the perspective of this character that I was just trying to think of the most disturbing title that I could put on this song.
Can you play it?
So this is the song I sent. 3 minutes and 33 seconds.
So you send this to Matthias, and he's not impressed.
No, he's not at all. But at the same time, he does accepts it he analyzes it, and gives his criticism, and his criticism is super spot on. Like he nails what's wrong with it, but then he doesn't dismiss it at all. He goes this whole thing like how it's not. He says it is not depressive enough. I did not think to cut myself. And so, but at the end of it, he says, send me some more tracks so I can decide. But the problem is then I didn't have any more. That was the only one.
That was the challenge for Witch Taint. It took 13 years. Finally, we have it, a record. Witch Taint, Sons of Midwestern Darkness. Satan's long wait is over. Here's their song, Are You Ready to Black Metal?
The black is black, in fact, that you have added seriously white compared to mine.
You think you are so brutal, so grim, so cold, but even Satan is a pussy compared to me, you see.
Are you ready?
Broken Record is produced by Justin Richmond and Jason Gambrell, with help from Bruce Hedlam, Mia Lobel, Chiquita Baskill, Jacob Smith, Julia Barton, Jacob Weisberg, and of course, Rick Rubin. Special thanks this week to AC Valdez. Our Broken Record theme music is by Evan Viola. To hear the songs featured in today's episode, check out BrokenRecordPodcast.com. This show is brought to you by Pushkin Industries. I'm Malcolm Gladwell.
Thanks for having me. If you get any, you know, there's probably going to people call me, you know, say I'm a pussy or a poser, or, you know, false metal guy or something. And just forward those to my AOL address.
We will defend you against them.